Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Before I start today's message, let me encourage all the church members, all the people who attend. You see, God encourages us by saying that pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and above all that you may prophesy. God is encouraging all of us to prophesy. I don't think he's encouraging all of us to be prophets, but to prophesy. And by prophesy means not just telling about future, it's about receiving things from the Lord and saying to the church, to the rest of the people. Yeah? So I, not only personally, as a part of the leadership, we want to encourage all of you, especially during these times, during times in life groups, that you should have that sense of responsibility that, yes, I am also a part of this life group. Hi. It's not just some leaders will receive something and, you know, there are some, you know, priests, you know, who will receive. No. Hallelujah. We are a royal priesthood. So, we encourage all of you to receive from the Lord. And but 1 Corinthians chapter 14, towards the end, Apostle Paul also is a pretty practical man. You know, he says in verse 39, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, therefore, my brethren, that includes sisters also, please, yeah, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Next. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Now, because all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner, that is one of the reasons why we are not just giving time here that, okay, anybody can come and say anything. No. That things may not be there orderly and in proper manner. The proper manner which we have thought about is something like this. During the week, maybe God may speak to you something. Okay? Now, God may speak to you through His Spirit for you. That's not prophecy. That's, please take it for yourselves. Yeah? But God may speak something not only to you. It may be for the larger body. Then you must not keep that for yourselves. You must share it. But before you share it, first of all, you must think whether it is worth sharing and whether you think God is putting in your heart. If you think that God is putting something in your heart, for the encouragement, for the edification, for the consolation, for the comfort of the people, then there are four elders in this church. You can speak to one of the elders. Not necessarily face to face. This can be used. And then we would be so glad to hear from you during the service. Yeah? Now, some of you may say, brother, not just during the week, maybe during the worship service I have, God is putting in my heart certain things. No problem. There are people sitting. You can just take them aside, tell them, and then, please, I think we must have a submissive attitude. You may, the leaders may say, thank you. But I think we can just wait for that. Yeah, something like that you may hear. Don't feel bad. But sometimes the leaders may say, yes, why not? Go ahead and share. Yeah. So it is, so overall, we want to encourage all of you to receive from the Lord and speak. Why? for the comfort, for the edification, for the consolation of all of us. Hallelujah. Yes, I hope things are clear. And we won't keep telling this every week, but this is the way we want to proceed in the church, because do not, when it comes to prophecies, do not despise prophecies, you know, and prophetic utterances. But everything must be done in an orderly way. So, you know, taking all of this into account, this is something that has come into our mind, and we would encourage all of you in this matter. So for today, I thank God for this passage, the Bible. Today, let us look at a small passage in the Bible. It's in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I would like to read the whole thing in one go and then go step by step. Hallelujah. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Loving Heavenly Father, we once again come before you. Thank you for your precious word through your Spirit. Lord, even as this passage is quite familiar with most of us, Lord, beyond the familiarity, may we see the truth. May we meet with you, and may you speak to us this day. Hallelujah. Your word is Spirit, they are life. Spirit of God, may you minister to each one of us, including myself. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the good ways of studying any passage is OIA, observation, interpretation, and application. Yeah. So first let us observe the passage closely. Let's observe the context. Then let us try to interpret, in the sense, why certain things happened, why somebody said what they said, why might they have done like this, etc., etc., in that context. And finally, we are going to apply that to our life as to what God might be telling to us today. So let's first observe the passage. Yes. Now, if you notice, we are reading John chapter 12. So obviously, 11 chapters have passed. So we have to place this in a particular context. Just before, in John chapter 11, very, very wonderful thing had happened, and this is not unrelated to that, because in the very first verse it says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover. Now, 6 days before the Passover, so the time is written. Mind you, Jesus Christ was crucified around a week later. So this is the time frame. Of course, Passover comes every year, but this particular Passover was somewhere, you know, so Jesus was about to be crucified. Of course, most people did not know that Jesus would be crucified. Jesus had predicted it, but now he came to Bethany. Now, where is Bethany? It is around 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So it is very near Jerusalem. 2 miles means, you know, 3.2 or 3.3 kilometers. Now, what was this Bethany famous for? Of late, Bethany became famous for Lazarus. Why? Because that is the place where Lazarus was from. So now Bethany is introduced by, that's the place where Lazarus was from, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So, next verse. So they made him a supper there. Who are they? Maybe. They made him a supper. So it's like a dinner. Yeah. We give a dinner for people. And Martha was serving. Now, we might have heard about Martha earlier also. This is one of her strong points, serving. Hallelujah. Thank God for people who serve. Hallelujah. All of us are expected to serve, but some people, they delight to serve extra. Of course, she went slightly overboard at one point in time. When Jesus was speaking also, she was serving. No, that was too much. And she was even complaining. So at that time, Jesus gave a mild rebuke. But that rebuke was there, but still she served. So which means, you see, serving is not a bad thing, and serving is a good thing, in fact. In fact, if people don't serve, who will have, how can we have dinner? Somebody has to serve, isn't it? Somebody has to cook. Thank God for all the Marthas. And Martha also did not take Jesus' word as, you know, some people, when they get rebuked, they go to the opposite extreme. So if Jesus rebuked Martha, Martha, this is the time for you to listen to the word. You are busy serving and you are complaining. I will never serve again. Don't go to extremes here. Take the message what Jesus is telling, that Jesus never told Martha, don't serve. Serving is bad. No, no, no. Serving is good. So look at how Martha took it. Martha took that rebuke very well. That did not stop her from serving again. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So Martha was serving. Now Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Now let's double click on this Lazarus. Lazarus was, you know, already in verse 1, John is telling that this is, Lazarus was there, you know. This Bethany is from this, that Lazarus was from Bethany. Now, here again, Lazarus was one of those reclining. Why Lazarus is so important is because of the previous chapter. What happened? You see, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, one brother, two sisters. No, we don't know about their parents, whether they were alive, we don't know whether they were married, whether they had children, and we cannot make big conclusions from what is not written, but it's not written. So, but they were a family in whose house Jesus felt pretty good. I mean, he used to go there. Now, while Jesus as a man, he loved everybody, but he had special affection for this siblings. Now, it was, this Lazarus became ill. And Jesus was going around various places. So, when Lazarus became ill, if it was in today's time, we could have just rang him up or sent WhatsApp message, voice message. But there, people had to be sent. And Jesus once he came to know that Lazarus was ill, it is written in chapter 11, after he came to know that he was ill, he stayed there 2 more days. And by the time he finally reached, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus had died. You know, from the passages, we get an idea that Lazarus was not an old man. He had died of illness. It was a tragedy. And 4 days later, when, you know, during those days, these Jewish people, they had, you see, if somebody died, it was not just that one person died. It was a community was involved in that. So people would come together, people would mourn. So there was a lot of people there. So Jesus, before he reached Bethany, he reached in some place. Martha went and met Jesus there. So Martha said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Now, through them, Jesus sent a word. And that's very important. Mary also, you see, chapter 11, verse 28. Just take that. Chapter 11, verse 28. John chapter 11, verse 28. When Martha had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. What does this show? Jesus has some special, you know, closeness with Mary. The teacher is here and is calling for you. Verse 29. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there, because Lazarus had died. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. It was a very emotional moment. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Brothers and sisters, this is the question which we also will get. Why he didn't prevent this from happening? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, sister of the deceased, said, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I mean, this is a verse which is worth remembering for every situation. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Okay? If you believe what? When Jesus is doing something, believe that. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was also wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him, let him go. So here the dead man is not resuscitated, he is resurrected. Hallelujah. I mean, people like us are involved in resuscitating. Sometimes the heartbeat stops, you know, all doing all kinds of bag and mask ventilation, and some people come out of that. But this is 4 days later. This man is resurrected. Hallelujah. It is a shocking thing to happen. I don't know whether any one of you have seen anybody being resurrected. I have not seen. I've seen some people being resuscitated. Their heartbeat stopped and then they came back. Resurrected. So, people, they are seeing in front of their eyes. Next. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. How could they not believe? But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. There are some people, they themselves will not believe, but they will accurately give the news. Yeah? So they gave the news. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and said, what are we doing? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. At least we have limited autonomy now under the Romans. Even that will go if this man goes on like this. Now, there is this wise old man, Caiaphas, one of them, Caiaphas, who was the chief high priest that year. He said, you people, you don't know nothing at all. You see, you know nothing at all. Nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. The modern day person would have said, what an idea, Sarji. You have given a great idea. Why should we all perish? This guy should die. Then all of us will be saved, isn't it? Actually, even though he was giving a great idea, he was also unwittingly doing what, hallelujah, God himself wanted, that Jesus would die for the whole nation. Hallelujah. This is the, you know, greatness of God, that people use their great ideas, people use their wicked ideas, but finally it turns out for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. This is our God. Hallelujah. There are these great wise men, evil men, scheming men, but with all their so-called wisdom and scheming, they kind of play into the hands of God, whose purpose, who does everything according to his great purposes and works out everything according to the counsel of his will. So, now, Caiaphas did not say this on his own initiative, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied. Oh, so there are intentional prophecies and unintentionally prophesied also. You know, that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Now, this is, John is writing this, yeah? Now, from that day on, they planned to kill him. Look at the thing. Here is Jesus doing a great miracle. And people are threatened. Some of you may be thinking, what wrong did I do? Why are people turning against me? It is really possible that people do the will of God and people are wanting to kill. From that day on, they planned together to kill him. Okay? Therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now, the Passover of the Jews was near. Now, see, now we are coming to our passage. Passover was near. And many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before Passover to purify themselves. Please understand that all the male members of the Jews, adult males, were expected thrice in a year to come to Jerusalem. And one of them was Passover, one of them was Pentecost. Yeah, that is why there is a lot of visitors in Jerusalem during that. It's a peak season at that time. Now, they were seeking for Jesus. So they were seeking for Jesus. They were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? That will he come to the feast? Will he come to the feast? Because if he comes, these people are trying to catch him. Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might seize him. Next. So, after this is John chapter 12, verse 1. You see? So, now you can get the continuation. So, remember, this dinner is happening in a background of, not a safe background. Just 2 miles away from Jerusalem, people are looking for Jesus to kill. Mary, Martha, Lazarus know that there is this danger and they are calling Jesus. And they are giving a dinner. Yeah? So we read verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. They made him a supper and Martha was serving. Now, let me just tell you some more things. This same incident is referred to in Matthew 26, verses 6 to 13. You can note it down, please. Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13. And Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. Now, please understand that when people recall things years after it has happened, they may focus on certain things. Yeah? You know, the example which came to my mind was, Suma Manti. She is a person who was here. Now, if we all recount an incident in late 90s, and I ask Pastor Jeffy to recall it, Sujit to recall it, Mathai to recall it. Now, all three of you would tell roughly the same, but depending on your personalities, you may focus on something, Mathai may focus on some other thing, and Sujit may focus on some other aspect. And when we piece together everything, we can get a bigger picture. Once in a while, we may get slightly contradictory things also. So, Sujit may say it was in the evening, and Mathai may say it was in the afternoon. So, you say, what is this? He's saying it is in the evening. He's saying it is in the afternoon. That means that this might not have happened. No. You know, when people recount things, some little bit here and there, things can also happen. So, I believe that these two passages, one in Matthew and one in Mark, is the similar passage, similar incident is being referred. Now, Matthew gives additional information. He says this was in the house of Simon the leper. Now, this John, book of John, clearly it is not written that it was in the house of Lazarus. They were there. Martha was serving, but maybe their house was small. Maybe maybe the thing was in Simon the leper's house and maybe they served there. Really possible. Now, there they have not mentioned the name of the woman. It's just said a woman came. In John, he talks about Judas Iscariot speaking. In Matthew and Mark, it is the disciples were angry. So maybe the disciples were angry and Judas spoke up. Maybe that's what happened. Now, Matthew and Mark says that the perfume was poured on the head. And in John, the perfume is poured on the feet. Maybe it was poured in both places. Now, people emphasize on what they want to emphasize. John in chapter 13 is going to talk about Jesus washing the feet. So he's his disposition is for that servant, you know, attitude. So he focused on that. Now, there is another incident in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 38. In this incident also, a woman comes and pours perfume. But there are significant difference between what is written in Luke and rest of these three which I said. What are the significant differences? That woman in Luke is called a sinful woman. Please understand, while all of us are sinners, if somebody is called a sinful woman, that has a connotation. Now, the whole issue there is, the Pharisee says, oh, this sinful woman is touching you. If you were a prophet, wouldn't you have known that she is a sinner? So that is the issue there. But here in John, Matthew, Mark, the issue is not of a sinner touching Jesus. Issue is of waste. Why this waste? So that is why in Luke, the incident in Luke is supposed to have happened in the beginning part of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Galilee is the northern part of Israel. But this incident which we are talking about now and which we are considering, that happened in Jerusalem, which is the southern part. So it appears that there were two different incidents. What Luke is reporting is that of a sinful woman who was so happy that her sins are forgiven and she is pouring out this perfume on Jesus' feet. Now this, what we are reading, is not because her sins were forgiven. It is, you know, out of a heart of thankfulness. Let's come back. Verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume. So John says it was not just perfume, it was very costly perfume of pure nard. People say it is something called spike nard. It was not easily available. It was very expensive perfume. It was usually used to anoint kings. So Mary just comes and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Please understand that the Jewish society was quite patriarchal. In the sense, women did not have so much this thing. They could serve and everything, but coming and then doing like this and then using the hair, letting down the hair and all were not considered very decent things, or propriety did not, you know, warrant such a behavior. But she did that. And what happened? The house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. Just imagine, you are sitting there, the whole place is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now, let's pause for a minute. What is 300 denarii? One denarii is approximately equal to one day's wages of a worker. If we have to understand the significance of that, how much does one worker get for a day? 700? Yeah, roughly? 700, 800 per day? Now, let's calculate. There are 365 days, but 365 days nobody works. Approximately 300 days. 52 Sundays is gone, or their Sabbath is gone. So approximately 300 denarii means 300 days of work, which means 1 year's wages. 300 into 700 for today, somebody who does, you know, a manual laborer job. 300 into 700 would be 2.1 lakh, or if that man gets 800, that would come to 2.4 lakh. So roughly 2 to 2.5 lakh rupees cost. So imagine some of you sitting here. I'm not talking of people who earn 3 or 4 lakhs per month. No, your 1 year's wages would be much more. This is an average worker's 1 year's wage. So if you are an average worker, imagine you are pouring out a perfume of 2.1 lakh. Or if you are earning 3 lakh per month, then 36 lakh. So just to have a sense of how costly it was a costly thing. Now, years back in the early 1990s, I read an article by Watchman Nee, and he has written a very wonderful article called Why This Waste? Why This Waste? Now, come to think of it, if we look at in a cold, calculating manner, what this woman did was a real waste. Because 2.1 lakh rupees, you just broke it and it's gone. You cannot just take on whatever passport and then put it back. It is broken. And it was perfume was there for a day, next day. Next day, little bit might have been there because so much was poured. But maybe 2-3 days later, it is gone. So, Judas did it because he was, he had some other plans. He says if this was put into our fund, working fund, because he was anyway taking some percentage of that, this 2.1 lakh, some 10% would have gone, then not 20% could have gone into his pocket. So, he was telling only that. But please, when we read Mark and Matthew, the other disciples were also angry. So, it's not just that Judas was angry, others were also angry. Why this waste? Isn't this too much? If you love Jesus, give it to the poor. Frankly, I think probably I might also have thought like this, a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating because I'm also a little calculating kind of a guy, actually. I always want to maximize things. I never want to do more than what is necessary, generally speaking. So, at the face of it, hey woman, what's wrong with you? Why you are spending so much? But the very interesting thing here is not what others thought. What did Jesus think about it? Please, let us see. What Jesus thought about it is written in, let's read verse 7. Jesus said, let her alone. All of you don't attack her. Oh, he's a good shepherd. Hallelujah. There are some strong sheep. They keep kicking the weak sheep. Let her alone. So that she may keep it for the day of my burial. Now, this doesn't make sense if you read the English here. What do you mean? How can she keep it for the day of burial? She has already poured it here. So we will have to look at other passages and we'll get some idea. Mark chapter 14. Verse 5. Mark 14 verse 5. Hallelujah. For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. Poor Mary, she gave so much and she's getting the scolding also. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. Please underline that. This is what Jesus thought about it. She has done a good deed to me. Verse 7. for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can go and do good to them. See, Jesus never said, don't. I mean, we were taught about righteousness, justice, and you know, it's a good thing to help the poor. So Jesus was not saying that don't give to the poor. He's always said, but you do not always have me. So that particular situation was like that. Verse 8. She has done what she could. Hallelujah. If Jesus is able to tell like that about us, if I hear a word like Sunil has done what he could, wow, what more I want to hear? She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Oh, that's very interesting. Did Mary know that Jesus was going to die shortly? And because of that, she actually did it as a part of anointing for burial? Or was she like, in one sense like Caiaphas, in the sense she did something without knowing, but it turned out to be good? I don't know. But whatever it is, what she did was really, it turned out that she actually anointed him before his burial. Because if you notice, after he died, the women went to anoint, but they couldn't because there was that big tombstone. And finally, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and all put so much, you know, things on Jesus. So what they did after death, Mary did before his death. Maybe Mary also heard Jesus telling, I am going to die. Jesus had told that to his disciples. They couldn't believe. Maybe she saw. Maybe because she was sitting at his feet. Maybe because she was so close to him. Maybe she knew. Now, whether she knew or didn't know, this action was a wonderful action, what she did. And the most important thing is not whether others approved of that action. The most important thing is Jesus approved of that action. Hallelujah. Jesus approved of that action. Now, suppose one of us met Mary after this incident and said, Mary, why you did all this? I mean, I would have had many questions. I would have asked, first question was, you are from an average middle class family. Where did you get this expensive perfume from? Did you get it from inheritance? Your mother gave it to you? Or somebody gifted it to you? What were you keeping it for? What was the original purpose? Well, whatever it is, she got it. It was in her possession. Mary, why did you do like this? I think Mary would have answered something like this. Yeah? Now this is imagination. Sanctified imagination, maybe. I believe Mary would have said, you see, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of love for him. Jesus Christ, I have heard him speak. I see that he is not just man. He is the resurrection and the life. And I wanted to do my bit. I knew that this perfume is going to finish off. But I wanted to show to him how much I loved him. I wanted to express my love to him. And the best way I thought I could express my love to him and appreciation to him was by giving this costly gift. I knew that others may not like it. I knew that women are generally not expected to do things like this. But frankly, I didn't care. I didn't care what others are going to say or think about me. What I cared is, this person, this man, Jesus, he is the king. and he deserves the anointing that kings are anointed with. And I wanted to give my all. No, but Mary, did anyone tell you to give? I mean, in the law it is not written that thou shalt give. What are you speaking about? No. No one has told me to give. No, but Mary, you were giving a lunch already, dinner already, isn't it? That also would have cost you money. You already were working hard. Yeah, that is okay. But love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all. And I wanted to give to him. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to come to the application part. You see, what Mary did also was tied up with the thanksgiving aspect. Her own brother was resurrected. I want to ask you a question. Has anyone in your family been resurrected? If someone asked this question to me, I would say, yes, I have been resurrected. In the sense of, I have been given new life. I was dead, but now I am alive. I have experienced the born again experience. Not only me, my family members have experienced. We have been blessed beyond what anyone can give to us. Lazarus received life which went again, but I have received life which cannot go. He who believes in me shall, even though he dies, he will live. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, have you received resurrection life of Jesus? Mary was thankful. If so, you don't need to tell me, because who am I? Please tell yourselves, what have you given to this man out of your love? Not because somebody is telling from the pulpit. If someone did not listen to all that I said till now, and suddenly they wake up and say, what? Brother Sunil is asking for a donation for the church? No, come on. I am not asking about what you are going to give, whether you are giving 1 year's worth of wages to the church. No. Is there any costly thing which you have given, are giving, and want to give to this wonderful Savior? You see, now people in the world cannot understand any of these things. What foolishness are you doing? You know, in the year 2001, when we decided to come from Delhi to Kerala, my neighbor, he's a doctor, he and his wife. So he said, Sunil, what are you doing? With all these things that you have, you are going to Kerala and to this small place. If I had all this, I would have certainly gone to America. He cannot understand. No, I didn't try to make it understand to him also, because what can I tell him? He is not understanding the value of following Jesus. It is foolishness to others. Now the problem is not only foolish, sometimes certain things are foolishness to other believers also. Because there is this great principle of use. just going to the same example, that time when we were coming, some people said, Sunil, you know Hindi. You are born and brought up in North India. North India is in great need. What's wrong with you? Why are you going to Kerala? I mean, they didn't tell in as many words, but there was enough suggestions given. In other words, will you be useful? Dear brothers and sisters, there is that principle of use, and I think we all must have that desire to be useful. But beyond usefulness comes pleasing the Lord. Hallelujah. I think this principle of use, while it is good, this what Mary did goes beyond that. That's why some believers can also not understand what's wrong with this Mary. Why she is pouring out all these things. Because when you look at it from the use point of view, what is the use? Certain of the things sometimes what we do may not even look useful, but if it is acceptable in the sight of God, if it is done out of pure love, it would be acceptable. Hallelujah. And when anyone does like that, I don't think John wrote that. John just said that the fragrance was there in the room. He meant the perfume was there in the room. But metaphorically speaking, there is a wonderful fragrance which comes out of people who live such lives. Hallelujah. There is that brokenness. There is that great fragrance which comes out. Can you all stand up, please? I would like all of you to pause for a moment. Those of you who want to sit can sit also. I'm not forcing you to stand. You can sit also, no problem. You can think and maybe, you know, there's something called an intelligent devotion. I don't think that Mary suddenly had a spurt of some impulse and then he's, where is the perfume? I will break it. No. I think it was pretty planned. What would you like? I mean, I'm not suggesting you have not given. There are people sitting here. I know you have given. You have broken things for the Lord. And God knows it, dear brothers and sisters. Even if others may not understand it, even if others may not recognize it, and even if others may not appreciate it, if we have broken anything for the Lord, He sees it and He appreciates it. And that understanding is enough for a true disciple. Hallelujah. He is worthy, dear brothers and sisters. He is worthy. Worthy are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Worthy, you are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Worthy, you are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. May this Lord is worthy of all that we have. The songwriter says, crown him with many crowns. Hallelujah. Crown him. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. He is worthy of all thanksgiving. He is worthy of all extravagant love. Now, some of us are thinking, you know, why we must do all of this? Well, let's look at it the other way. Hasn't He shown extravagant love for us? Didn't Jesus pour out His life for us on the cross? Didn't the Father send his one and only begotten Son to die for us? If such has been the extravagance of the love, you know, what we do pales in comparison. If we break a perfume of 1 year's wages, what is that compared with what God has done for us? It is not that we have, you know, loved him, but he has loved us first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't want to end this message with a note as if you are all called to do some great sacrifice for him. No! Sometimes, you know, I hear some funny things like this. So there is this great podium. The podium has space for 3 people, but 12 people are sitting there. And then this man is introducing the main speaker. Oh, this is the great speaker. This man has A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K degree. And this man was a great man. And this man is such a great man. And he had such a great job. And he had such a great power. But he left all that. What a great man he is. He left all that for what? It seems that he left all that for some small person. He must have left all that. But Jesus, he left. Hallelujah. He did not let equality with God as something to be grasped. But he left everything. He made himself of no repute. And he made himself a servant. Dear brothers and sisters, that is what needs to be talked about. Not the so-called great, so-called sacrifice. Yes, it would be sacrifice and Jesus would acknowledge it. And even that man who had A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K degree and did that, Jesus acknowledges. But let's not talk about it as if he has done a great thing and not talking about the greater thing which Jesus did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have a sense of proportion, my dear friends and brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come before you. We really want to thank you for when we consider what you have done for us, whatever we do or we can think of doing pales in comparison to that, O Lord. What can we do, O Lord? Hallelujah. Because you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have loved us. You have lavished your love upon us. You have loved us extravagantly, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have blessed us, O Lord, so much, Lord. And therefore, we come before you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we have very few things. Things like perfume. Things like these. Some of these things we have in our hand. And Lord, we want to break it. We want to put it at your feet, O Lord. Because you are worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. Help us individually and as a church to give the glory that is due to you. Indeed, you are worthy. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this precious incident which, Lord Jesus, you promised. You said that this would be spoken wherever gospel is spoken. And today, 2,000 years later, we are speaking of this incident. Thank you, Lord. We give all glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray.